Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner. He's my co-host each and every week, and he gets here earlier and earlier. How you been, Pastor?
I've been doing great, Mike.
Man,
it's good to be with you.
Yeah, I got to get you a desk here, I think. What do you think?
If you can give me a desk and I can study and read, I'll be fine.
Oh, okay, because you're always walking around, shaking hands, kissing babies.
Yeah, I'm getting to be, where I have a lot of friends here, Mike.
They don't even stop at the front desk anymore, do they?
No, last week there was a new girl there, and I said, Mike McGivern, she goes, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, just go ahead. You're another one of those people looking for him. She thought you were a bill collector, I'm sure, because that's...
Well, I mean, I try not to say, hey, I'm here to have to repossess his refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, just as long as you take everything out and leave that for me, I'm okay with that. Hey, I'm excited about today's show. It's always good to get a local guy. Other than a Marquette High guy, but he is a Marquette High guy, and I'm just kidding with that. He is also the operation pastor at Southbrook Church, former professional baseball player, played at Marquette High, played at Vanderbilt, was drafted by the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2002, and he joins us in studio. Hey, Sean, pronounce your last name for us.
Yeah, sure. It's Lewelwitz.
Lewelwitz.
Sean
Lewelwitz. There you go. Operations pastor at Southbrook Church. Thank you so much for your willingness to come in and speak to us today.
Oh, appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your upbringing. Born and raised here in Milwaukee, correct?
That's right. Yeah, been born in Brookfield, which is just a suburb of Milwaukee. Grew up here locally.
And Marquette, did you go to St. Dominic's or where'd you go?
No, I was in public school all the way up till Marquette High.
Okay.
So part of that school district, and then joined Marquette High.
As a freshman?
Yep, that's right.
Baseball, basketball?
But both those, yep.
Yep, no football?
No football. I was, that was something my parents... that wasn't the sport they wanted for me. So baseball and basketball I focused on.
Who was the head football coach over there? Coach Basham or Mass?
Coach Basham was there, yeah.
Oh, I bet Coach Basham talked to you in the hallway a couple times. Huh? Smash him, Basham. I'm a big Dick Basham fan. And I work Thursday nights with Terry Kelly on the Thursday Night Lights High School Football Game of the Week. John St. Peter and I have been friends for a long time, though I haven't talked to him in a while. And I hope that he's doing well. Your days over at Marquette High, good days for you?
Absolutely. It was overall, it was a great experience. You know, going to an all-guys high school those first couple days, you don't know what it's going to be like. But it was great. It was just a group of guys having fun. Academically, they're top-notch. And then athletically, as you guys know, they do well in many sports. And so it was a good experience overall.
Who was your basketball coach then? Was it Coach Cooks? Was he there?
No, it was before him.
Okay.
I'm trying to think back.
Coach Nowak was there for a really long time. Then Warren Smith.
Yeah, it was Coach Smith.
Yeah, Soderberg.
So Coach Soderberg was my senior year.
I don't remember my nieces and nephews' names. And I remember stuff like that. My wife, if she's listening, shaking her head going, man. And that Rod Crew hit 311 his last year with the Minnesota Twins. Stuff like that, I got. But, you know, all this really important stuff, I don't get any of that. But at Marquette High, basketball-wise, you guys certainly had some success. In baseball, it's a pretty good program.
Absolutely. So Coach Breidich was the baseball coach. Yeah, we won state junior year. And he always had us ready to go
What position, Sean, did you play in baseball and in basketball?
Yeah, so basketball, more like a forward position. Baseball, I switched. So I was a catcher all through, up through high school. And I went to Vanderbilt, and freshman year, they said, all right, we see you're a catcher, but we have an opening at first base. And
oh, yeah.
If you're willing to switch over there, you can play freshman year. And so I did that, and so I was able to play all 4 years at Vandy.
Did you miss catching? Because I always think of my brother, Tim. He's still catching, by the way. He's, I don't know, 5 years older than I am, and he plays down in Florida, and he still puts the gear on. He plays in 35 and over, 45 and 55. And they keep calling him, especially the older groups, saying, look, can you come out and catch 9 or catch 7 for us? And catchers are a different breed. I got to be honest with you. And did you miss playing that position?
So I did, yes and no. So I like the strategy part. You're involved in every pitch, and I love that. The downside is the physical part. So squatting down, I'm 6'5". It's really took a toll on me. So when I was between sophomore and junior year, I'd have knee surgery on my left knee. Torn meniscus. It healed and I was able to catch more, but really I can see it as a blessing moving to first base, because if I stayed catching, I don't know how long I would have been able to play.
You know, my brother Tim will, he'll come up every summer from Florida and visit, and he'll bring his stuff and he'll reach out to some of these, you know, these older guy teams that are playing to say, hey, look, I'm coming up. Anybody looking for a catcher? Anybody looking? And he's played with the Mud Hens the last 2 years, and I went out to watch him play. And I said, hey, can you still throw guys out? He goes, yeah, I can one hop it and get these boys. He goes, no, no issues with that. He played 2 games, a doubleheader. He caught the first 7 of the first game and the next 5 of the second game. And you know what? Got up and this is what he does. And so his knees, he'd been blessed with some really good knees, in good shape, obviously. And he just loves playing, and he loves catching. That's his love.
You know, as far as catching, you know, we had A.J. Ellis in, and he would do, you know, he would tell us some of the stories that he would have conversations with the batters. The one I always will remember is Buster Posey, because he's wanting to talk to him about their study in Romans 6, and Buster's getting ready to face Clayton Kershaw, and he's like, he steps out of the batter's box. He says, A.J., I'll talk Romans 6 with you a little bit later, but man, right now I'm getting ready to face one of the best pitchers in the Major League. Did you, when does that kind of start happening, that catchers start talking to guys getting ready to step into the box?
Yeah, so maybe a little different for me is when I went to college and I was drafted as a first baseman. You have a lot of conversations with guys when they're at first.
Oh, yeah.
They've made it there for whatever reason. And so that was interesting. I mean, you only have a couple seconds when guys are leading off from first, but you can get to know them. And also the umpires that are doing first base, you get to know them because you're in the minors, you're playing, you know, 140 games during the summer. Mm-hmm. You get to know guys as they're rotating. And that was interesting to get to know them and their life and where they're at.
A different kind of relationship with the umpires at first base than you would as a catcher. And same with players, right? Because when you're talking to guys that are in a batter's box, I would think if you are talking to them, you're talking to them a little bit differently than you would at first base.
True, yes. Although if you're in a 3 or 4 game series, those guys rotate. And so the guy I just talked to at first base as an umpire is now behind the plate. And so if there's a questionable call, I might, if I know his name, say, oh, you know, that was pretty close. Where do you have that? So you gain that relationship and you have that rapport with them.
That's excellent. We are blessed today. Our special guest, again, he's a Milwaukee guy, and he is the operations pastor at Southbrook Church. Where can you explain, where is Southbrook Church? I know it's in Franklin, and we just talked about A.J. Ellis, but he's a guy that goes to Southbrook as well. Where are you guys located?
Yeah, so we're on the southwest corner of Franklin and Milwaukee County, so just near Muskego, the southern side of Milwaukee County.
Southbrookministries.org is their website, southbrookministries.org. And as the operations pastor at Southbrook, can you talk a little bit about your role and what an operations pastor might do?
Yeah, so it's a mixed bag in some respects. The operations day-to-day side, I have a chance to oversee, and so that involves a number of different aspects, including our financials and and how we use the resources that come to Southbrook. I also have the opportunity to help lead our missions initiatives, so those relationships we have both locally and internationally, and we have teams that help me with that. Also, any special projects that may be happening. So we're right now in the middle of a building project, and so I get a chance to play a role in that. And so there's many different pieces to it that I enjoy.
You're busy.
It is.
Kind of like Pastor Ken, kind of like the pastors at Brookside Baptist Church. You know, you guys wear a lot of hats. You obviously wear a lot of hats, and similar to Brookside, it sounds like, you know, when Sean needs to jump in, he jumps in, and that's what we ask the pastors at Brookside to do as well.
Well, I mean, ministry is people, and so it's people, it's a people business, but then, you know, Sean also has the paper side of it too. So to be a paper person and a people person, you don't find very many of those, so I'm sure, Sean, they're glad they have you there to be able to do that. I can tell you're a connector, and you probably were a good connector with guys getting on first base, you know, to just talk to them.
Hey, how good of a paper pastor are you, by the way?
I've gotten a lot better, Mike.
Have you? That's good.
Kathy's
you have to
listening,
be.
Listening, she would concur. I've gotten a lot better than I used to be.
Yeah, that's a paper pastor. We should invent that now. You know, last week we had Ray on, who's an author and a sports psychologist, and I thought he should be a pastor psychologist and come work with who's a couple of the boys. I'm not going to name them. A couple of the boys at Brookside. You know who you are if you're listening. And now we could do this whole paper thing too. Wait, man. There's a lot of ideas that we come up with on Faith in the Zone, don't you think?
Absolutely, Mike. Absolutely.
Hey, if we ever get, you know, we haven't talked about this in a bit, but you know, Sean, Pastor Sean here, he's got good size, and if wanted to get him on our 3-on-3
tournament, yeah.
Sean, you're going to have to rebound, play defense, and pass me the ball. You can look Pastor off a few times, fake to him because he thinks he's always open, but he's not, and then you just get it to me, and don't worry, we'll get some wins.
I'd be up for it. There may need to be a knee replacement somewhere in there.
No,
that's fine.
We're going to go half court.
Trust me.
3-on-3, half court, and we get a break. When anybody scores, you know, either team scores three, we're taking a break. That's the way this thing rolls. Hey, last question before we get to a break, and this may carry over into the second segment and maybe part of your testimony, but when you were playing baseball at Vanderbilt, did you ever, and with the Diamondbacks, did you ever envision that one day you would be the operations pastor at Southbrook?
Never. I never did. And that's probably where I was continually saying to God when he was showing me different things about what my calling may become. I was kind of pushing it away and doing different things, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But, I never thought I would. But, you know, I've been at Southbrook for 11 and a half years, and it's been an incredible journey, and I'm so glad I'm there.
Man, we will ask Sean for his testimony, and I'm going to ask him a question. I love talking to professional baseball players and former professional baseball players about their walk and being able to walk worthy inside the locker room, outside the locker room, which one was easier. And we'll get to that later in the show. Our special guest again, Sean Lulowitz.
Lulowitz,
I'm close. He's the operations pastor at Southbrook Church, former professional baseball player. Played for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He got drafted in 2002 out of Vanderbilt. And again, he is at Southbrook Church, southbrookministries.org. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Well, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, he is a operations pastor at Southbrook Church, former professional baseball player, went to Marquette High, don't hold that against him, Vanderbilt, and drafted by the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2002. He is Sean Lulowitz. I'm going to get it, man. I promise you, Sean, I will. Hey, we ended last segment talking a little bit about when you were playing with the Diamondbacks And through Vanderbilt, if you ever kind of envisioned that you would be an operations pastor at a church like Southbrook Church, and you said, man, absolutely not. Can we talk a little bit about that process for you?
Yeah, so something I didn't mention in the first segment was when I was going to Marquette High, I met my wife, who was going to Divine Savior.
Of course you did.
And so we met between the summers of sophomore and junior year, started dating, and then dated for 9 years, got married. And I think what led me then to ministry is really a lot in thanksgiving for God working through my wife, Allison. And so I was playing baseball, drafted by the Diamondbacks, 3 years in their minor leagues. My wife went to school to be a nurse. And so we got married right after she was done with nursing. I was entering my third year with the Diamondbacks. We had been apart those 9 years because of baseball, playing all over during the summers. You're playing in wood bat leagues during the summers of college. And so we got married, and it was really, God was really impressing upon her, what is our path? Where does God really want us to be as a couple, as a family? And so a couple days before spring training was ending, we were done for the day working out. She came and got me. We went to this, it was in Tucson, Arizona, and there's this beautiful air show that they have. And so we were sitting watching that, and she leaned over to me and said, is this the path? Is this where God has us? And I said, I really can't say yes. I was going to California to play on an A-ball team. She was staying in Tucson to be a nurse. And she said, well, if this isn't where God has us, then what are we doing? And I said, you're absolutely right. And so I went in and said, you know what? I need to follow God and not these other dreams that I don't think are of God. And so I hung it up, and we've been on a journey ever since together.
Man, what? First of all, thank God for her. And we talk about, you know, godly women that certainly I'm married to one, Pastor Ken is, and you are obviously as well. And I thank God that we have wives that pray for us every day and the decision processes that we make. And boy, what a great story. You walk in then to the Diamondbacks and say, you know what, guys, no mas. I'm done.
Yeah, it was right then and there. And they wisely said, well, why don't you take the night, think about it. The minor league director, I don't know if he was a believer, but it was basically pray about this and come back tomorrow. So certainly prayed about it, talked to my agent, talked to my parents, and I was just, we were resolved that we want to follow God more than anything else this world can offer.
Boy, let's, if we can, and Pastor, I know the second segment is your favorite, and it must go pretty hand in hand with what we're talking about with Sean, but we love asking guys for their testimony.
Yeah, absolutely, and Sean, that's what the program has been all about, and just some, you know, Mike and I talk about it all the time. Everybody has their own journey of how they come to know Christ personally, and we would love to hear how that took place in your life, and then obviously how God has continued to be directing is obvious as he, you know, you're now in ministry.
Yeah, thanks. Absolutely. Well, I'm very thankful and blessed growing up. My parents introduced the idea of faith and a desire to want to follow Jesus early on. And so we, as a family, would attend Elmbrook Church in Brookfield, for those who are not from this area, just a suburb of Milwaukee. And that was wonderful. I remember the desire to want to go to services on Sunday morning, but I wasn't involved in any other way. I was wanting to play sports, get to know my future wife, play with friends. So growing up, I remember as a five-year-old saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. But I think from that point until I went to college, it was more of I was doing the things I was supposed to do. Versus having a faith of my own. And it really wasn't until I went to college, went away from home, those first few even days at college at Vanderbilt, I remember seeing other people doing things, making decisions that were just contrary to how I was raised or what I had learned from friends who were also followers of Jesus. And so I had to make a decision. Do I want to follow Jesus and live this way, or do I want to start following the crowd doing these other things? And I remember in my mind having those decision points, and thankfully the Holy Spirit led me to say, no, you need to make decisions to follow Jesus. And so it was right then in college, really, that I really affirmed this is who I want to live for.
You know, Sean and Mike, how many times have we heard that?
I,
you know,
I,
that, that
yes.
It was... you know, I'm thankful for my parents. The word was, you know, ingrained into me. Thought I made that decision, possibly did make that decision, but it wasn't until I got to college and I had to make it my own. And there at college, I made that decision to, you know, put my trust in Christ.
And what a difficult place and to do that because of all the temptation and all the, like you said, you were there on campus for 2 days seeing kids make decisions that were kind of foreign maybe to you. And I'm wondering, first of all, did your, and your first, your wife's first name?
Yeah, Allison.
Allison, did she go to Vanderbilt as well?
No, she didn't. So for the 9 years we dated, high school, college, we never went to a class together. She went to Madison and then UW-Milwaukee.
Wow. So you get on campus. Did you join FCA? Did you do, were you involved with anything like that at Vanderbilt?
Yeah. So thankfully, Athletes in Action had a presence at Vandy at that time. And so I met with the guy, or I got to know, his name was Brad. And I really, looking back, see how he played a really key mentoring role for me, where he would have lunch with me, and thankfully he was patient with my questions, and I would challenge him. Now, why would I want to live this way? Or why does Jesus want me to do this versus that? And he really was patient, and we dug in the Word, and I'm so thankful that he was there at that moment to really speak into my life.
Hey, Pastor, can I ask you, because you spent a lot of your career as a pastor, as being a youth minister, and when you get kids, and he was a little bit older than maybe some of the kids you were dealing with, but when you have somebody challenging you and asking you questions like that, that's a really good sign, correct?
It's refreshing. Yeah, it's refreshing that there's a passion, there's an interest to really... want to know, what does the Bible say? You know, because I tell people all the time, if you come and you're hearing me say, put your Bibles down, just listen to me right now, you've got a green light to kick me in the tail. I mean, we're here to see, what does God actually have to say? And so for someone to be questioning and asking that I guarantee Brad was excited about it. And also to see kids being transparent and honest with you, and, hey, I'm struggling here, and what do I need to do to get victory? And I mean, that's not just teens or college. I mean, that's even adults that, you know, are going through difficult times. And, hey, how can I want victory. I don't want to be defeated. I want to make a difference, because there's so much to this life that God wants me to live for His glory and really in light of His kingdom. And so, that's very refreshing. I'm sure Brad was excited. And you're probably in a place now yourself, Sean, at the church, even though, you know, you're having to do a lot of the background, finances and all, you probably still have some times where someone says, man, I got to get with you. I need to find out what's going on here in my life.
Yeah, and for the first 7-8 years at Southbrook, I was involved in our youth ministry. Sounds a lot like your background, Pastor Ken. And so I loved those one-on-one times, or getting together with two or three guys and that were teens in high school or middle school, and just letting them question everything. And I loved it because it was so refreshing, as you say, but also it helped solidify what I believe. And, hey, here's maybe doubts I have, and let's explore this together. And now as adults, just the value of being in a small group where I've got other men who are looking after me, who are watching me, who are making sure, hey, are you doing this, or why are you thinking this way? And so it's really important for all of us, no matter what your age is.
Yeah. You're talking about small groups and guys really being accountable to one another. We have a small group meeting in our house, And one of the guy's wives said, hey, look, if my husband starts acting like a jerk, then, you know, I'll change the names here. She said, I'm going to call Billy. And Billy, can you come over if he's acting like a jerk? And Billy goes, I'll be on the front porch if he's acting like a jerk. You
know? It wasn't me, was it?
No, it wasn't you.
I hope not. Because Terry just yells, Michael.
Yeah, Terry can handle herself with that Michael. I love hearing that Michael, Terry. Keep it up.
I know you do. Hey, Pastor Sean, was there a time at Vanderbilt that you rededicated or accepted Jesus Christ again? Because at 5, you said, look, this is who I am. But was there a second time in your life where you said, okay, now I understand all this?
You know, I can't really pinpoint a time in college. I think it really was that conversation that my wife and I had. Not that it was a rededication, but maybe it was more of a re-solidifying, who am I living for? Because I think I would fall into the trap so easily, even as a minor league baseball player. When you're playing well, there are people who want your autograph. They want to interview you. You get a taste of what I'm sure big league players receive. And you start looking at that, that achievement, that acclaim as your god in some ways. It's an idol. And I fell into that trap big time. And so having my wife really kind of recenter what are we living for really was a key moment for us as a family.
You know, that happened to me in the church softball league a lot. You know, when people asking for your autograph. And it just really struggled with trying to get away from that. That's why I stopped playing, Sean. Just don't let Pastor Ken tell you any different. That's the reason I had to stop playing in the church softball league.
Actually, Sean, I was shocked how quick he could move his feet at second base to turn two. I mean, I was very impressed by it.
So all those back in the day of the disco era, that's maybe why I had those kind. You nice. Might not remember it, young man, but trust me, a couple of other boys here in the studio do. Let's get to a break, guys. Other side of the break, we're going to open up third segment with me asking Sean about, you know what, walking worthy. Harder in the, and again, He certainly was a Christian as he played at Vanderbilt, and he played for the Diamondbacks. And it seems to me that in minor league baseball, sometimes it's the most difficult to walk worthy inside the locker room. And we're going to talk to Sean about that on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brain Balance of Mequon. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Well, welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern probably flying solo for this segment. About to cut my co-host just for a segment. It's just going to be a quick suspension. He's Pastor Ken Keltner, Brookside Baptist Church, our special guest. He's a good one. What a nice young man he is. He is the operations pastor at Southbrook Church, former professional baseball player with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You can check out Southbrook at southbrookministries.org. Again, located in Franklin, Muskego. Kind of south side of Milwaukee, to the west a little bit, is where they're located. And again, southbrookministries.org. And our special guest, he's Sean Llewellyn Witz. There you go.
There you go.
W in there. And Pastor's looking over there, smirking at me. I'm horrible with last names. And this guy can't be a Smith. Could be a Sean Smith. I got that one. Hey, Pastor Sean, thank you so much again for coming in. Hey, we ended last segment. And we had talked a little bit about this question, and I find it really interesting, the different answers that we've gotten with it. But was it easier for you to walk worthy inside the locker room, not only in college, but in professional baseball, or was it easier for you to walk worthy outside of the locker room?
Yeah, that's a really good question. As I've been thinking about this, minor leagues, which is where I was, is unique in the sense that everybody is trying to leave the team they're on. So guys come in and out all the time, and you're always trying to move to that next step to get to the big leagues. And so, I would say for me, primarily, it was harder to live for Christ in season on those teams. There was a guy that I look back as we've been talking about mentors and the key for that. His name was Dan. He was one of the pitching coaches for a couple of the teams I was on. And he was just such a godly man. And I'm so thankful of his presence. I really saw a man who loved his wife, loved his family, put them ahead above everything else. And he really helped me stay on the straight and narrow in season. But for sure, for me at least, away from the park, it was easier for me to live out my faith.
Hey, with Allison being obviously a big part since high school with you, how difficult was it for her? And again, you guys didn't hang out at all during baseball season for forever. How difficult was that for her when it was time for you to go?
Oh, it was hard every time. I mean, we loved being together. We loved experiencing things. And she just knew, and we both knew, that that was just part of the deal. If you're going to try to make to the big leagues, you have to be ready to travel. You have to be ready to leave. There's an example. So I was at AA, which was in El Paso, started the season there after a good year the year prior. I was there for 2 months, and they said as we were getting back from a road trip, all right, unfortunately, you're going to be moving down to High A. You need to be there tomorrow night for their game. So I'm in El Paso. I've got an apartment. My wife, at the time, my girlfriend, was back home doing her studies, and I had to end my apartment lease, pack up all my stuff, drive from El Paso to Lancaster, California, which is just near L.A., and be ready to play that next night. So if you have a family, if you have commitments where you're playing out of, it's very hard to keep those. And so that's just part of the deal. But it was a hard stretch of time for us.
Hey, where does Allison, and I would assume that the idea of coming back to Milwaukee where your roots are was something that interested both of you, obviously, because you're here. What hospital, where is she working?
Yeah, so she's still a nurse, but she hasn't been working as a nurse for a number of years. She's at home with our three boys.
You have three boys. I have four grandsons.
You just need one more, Sean, and hey, you got your ball team. Yeah. If they'll let you play. Because people would say, hey, are you going for the ball team with four boys? And I go, yeah, we got four boys, but hey, I want to play too, so that's five. We got our team.
There you go. Nice. Well, you know what? How old are your boys, by the way?
So they're 10, 5, and 4.
And their names?
Yeah, so Moses, Elisha, and Titus.
There you go. Good, strong names.
All biblical.
All biblical. Very biblical. You bet. Sports kids? They like sports?
Oh, yeah. My oldest son, Moses, baseball all year round, plays basketball. Really, he'll play any sport he can. And Elisha's getting involved in that as a five-year-old. Or four-year-old. So they're all three are adopted. We've had Titus for a little under a year. And so we're trying to still figure out what his passions are. But I'm sure with his brothers, he'll be doing something sports related.
Well, I'll tell you this. Pastor Ken and I miss it. So there's going to be times where you're going to have to chase around with these three boys to get one to a field and one to a court and one maybe to a concert or whatever. But yeah, we miss it so much. So if you need help, well, you call us. How about this? We'll do the court or the ball field. If you want to do the concert stuff, I don't know much about that, but the other stuff we'll certainly help you out with a lot. Hey, the idea of coming back to Milwaukee, can you talk about that? So you guys where were you when you made the decision to get out of baseball?
Yeah, we were in Tucson, is where spring training was, yep.
And then was the decision then to come right back to Milwaukee, or did you spend more time there?
Yeah, we spent more time. So I spent, after ending my baseball career, just a couple weeks and months just praying, all right, God, what's next? And so through a couple connections, M&I Bank, which is now BMO, had a presence in Tucson. So I joined one of their branches as a personal banker. I don't know if that's where God wanted me, but that's something that was available and something that opened up as an opportunity. And I see now, after a year and a half there, my wife was a nurse at a hospital in Tucson. M&I moved us back home with a training program to be a different part of M&I Bank. And so that moved us home. So I can kind of see God's hand in providing that opportunity to get home. And certainly it's a blessing to be around family with three very active boys. It's nice to have them be able to help. And that's what got us back.
Are your parents still here in this area?
They are. They both are. Yeah, my wife's at mine, yeah.
So, they spoil these three boys a little bit?
Oh, they love them.
Yeah, I bet. You know, we're grandfathers, and my daughter and husband and three kids used to live kitty corner from us till about 6-7 months ago, something like that. And now they moved into Brookfield. They're about 10 minutes away. And people go, well, they're only 10 minutes away. I go, yeah, but when they're kitty corner, I get to see them every day. Mm. They stand in the corner, yo, Papa, can we come over? I'm like, no. They're like, okay, here we come. And now Pastor's got a whole different, he's got to go a long way to see his grandkids.
Yeah, and then when I do, Sean, you better believe when they came out here, I'm taking my grandson to Cops, and I'm going to go to ice cream when we get out there. And Kevin finally came and said, hey, Beck and I really don't want him having that much ice cream. I go, tough. I'm Grandpa. Hardly ever get to see him. He's going to get ice cream with me.
Yeah.
So then Kevin says, can you just send Mom?
Just send Mom. Kathy gets him. Kathy spoils him, too. Trust me. There's no doubt about that. Are you involved coaching, or are you involved? You miss being involved as far as sports?
Yeah, so trying to balance ministry and life. So I help out where I can. So Moses is part of a junior Husky baseball team. So we're in the West Dallas School District. So sure. Nathan Hale is where my boys will be going through. And so he's part of the baseball junior Husky team. And so I help when I can, and I'm there to lend support. So, yeah, that's where I'm helping right now and what works.
Hey, before we get to a break, some other things going on over at Southbrook. Feeling pretty good about the direction of the church, and I spent a lot of time on your website, and feel pretty good about what's being preached there. There's a girl that sits right next to me here that also goes to Southbrook. She's out on maternity leave, but Tricia is just a big fan of what's going on at Southbrook. But you, as the operations pastor, feeling pretty good about the direction of the church?
Absolutely. I mean, God just continues to bless and provide. And right now, I think as we've grown as a church, we're trying to figure out how to best care for and love those who God is bringing us. And so it's a great challenge. The people that are coming to Southbrook are in all different walks of life, all different stages in their faith journey. And so it's wonderful to be able to walk with people where they are.
Hey, Pastor, when you talk to other pastors, and we're talking with Pastor Sean again, he is the operations pastor at Southbrook Church. When you have conversations with guys like Pastor Sean at different churches, do you guys talk about issues in our community and in our country? And I think that our country and our community needs God more than ever. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And how do we go about getting people that, you know, come up to me and say, look, I listen to Faith in the Zone all day long, but I haven't been in the church in 20 years, and I really don't have any interest. Do you as pastors have conversations about how do we get more people to come join us?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the three institutions God created, He created family, He created government, and He created the home. And the enemy of God, the Bible says is our adversary, Satan, he has attacked all three of those institutions. And so, obviously, the family is under huge attack today. You have more young people who grew up in church who are totally leaving it, you know, don't want to have anything to do with it. Our culture has just been preaching tolerance with this, tolerance with that. And then yet you have something that's happened even last Sunday with Kobe Bryant, you know, being killed in that helicopter crash with his daughter. And I'll tell you what, people across the land, they're thinking about death.
Yeah,
because it can happen so quickly.
I agree. Sean, we're going to get your response on the other side of the break. You know, the other thing that Pastor, you and I have talked about is we have government officials saying, hey, look, the world's going to end in 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, we need to take care of this part of our environment or the world's going to end. And I get a lot of questions, and I would assume that a lot of people that are still searching start having questions. And Sean, we're going to talk to you about that on the other side of the break. Again, he is Sean Lewelwitz. He is the operations pastor at Southbrook Church, former professional baseball player with the Arizona Diamondbacks. You can go to southbrookministries.org for more information on the church where Sean is at. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pelon Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church, our special guest. What a nice young man he is. He's a father of three. Moses, Titus, and
Elisha.
Elisha's five, and he won't know that I'm not saying his name on the radio. Sorry about that. But Moses knows, because he's going to be listening. And Allison, you know what? Nothing but great things are said about you during the break. So the DSHA thing, that's okay. But the Marquette High thing I struggle with. But he's not doing bad. He's doing, in fact, doing really well. Hey, Sean, we left the last segment. We talked about, you know, talking to other pastors, and we're talking about our community and our country. And when you talk to other pastors outside of the guys over at Southbrook, you guys have those conversations about, look, what are other churches doing to get more people to come join us?
Yeah, so that's one of the things actually I really enjoy doing, is that we have a network of different pastors in a similar role as mine, and we get together every other month. We go to a national conference together. And so it's a great way that we can share not only resources, but also pray with each other. We can talk through, hey, what are our folks experiencing and how can we better care for them? It's a really wonderful thing to be in a city which some considered dead to God years ago. And now there's churches getting together, praying with one another, praying for that their churches would grow. So it's not a competition sort of thing. It's wonderful.
That was my question for both you guys, because you guys are both, you know, ex-athletes and coaches. And do you find that as long as you believe that the other church is preaching, you know, that the Bible and how to get to heaven, that you don't feel like they're competitors, Pastor Ken?
No. In fact, I pray for other churches in our community that are reaching people with the gospel. And what really grabs my attention is in some of the latest surveys, less than 1%, get this now, less than 1% come to a church because someone shared the gospel with them, they came to know Christ, and they came to church. So in other words, 99 or 98% of church growth is the church shuffle. They get upset at this one church, so then they go to this other church, then they go to another church. And I mean, some people that have grown up in Milwaukee, they've probably been in 5 or 6 or 7 different churches. And really, that church growth really needs to be us reaching our community with the gospel and seeing people come to Christ. And when those people come in, they're usually so excited about their church home, they don't usually just take off.
Well, and first generation Christians, Sean, yeah. We had Marcus Handel, and you know Marcus.
Yep.
And, you know, as Pastor said, look, he was on fire for the Lord and actually upset that he didn't know this stuff beforehand. And I think that first generation Christians, yep. Yeah, and look, we, I think, as men, and you guys are pastors. I'm just a guy that, you know, is the valet driver at Brookside. But I think as men, we have to do a better job of inviting more people in to sit and to come and see what we're doing at Brookside, to come and see what you guys are doing at Southbrook, correct?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we've been trying to talk through, and our lead pastor, Jonathan Messerian, does a great job of helping us see that.
Hey, by the way, I hear nothing but really good things about him.
Yeah, we were friends before. So we started attending Southbrook for 2 years before I came on staff. And so it was great to establish a friendship with him and then to be able to work with him for so long and to see just his heart for the gospel and his heart for people. It's unmatched. And he's really been good at setting the culture that we want to invite people into a conversation and listen sometimes more before we speak truth into their life. And certainly you need to speak truth, but to hear where they're from, where they've been hurt, where they've experienced God, where they maybe haven't ever heard about God, and hearing where they're from before we jump into the gospel, which is part of it.
Hey, Tricia, again, who goes, and her husband Jay, and Tricia and I are really good friends. She sits right next to me, across from me, here at Entercom. They went to Southbrook and walked in, didn't know anybody, and your head pastor, Jonathan, came up and said, hey, how you guys doing? Just started talking to him, walked him in, showed him some seats, and she thought, wow, what a nice usher, right? And all of a sudden, he got up and he was preaching, and she was like, Mike, I had no idea that's who he was.
That's Jonathan.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Pastor, we got about 3.5 minutes left. And again, Sean played baseball at Milwaukee Marquette, played at Vanderbilt, was drafted and played in the Arizona Diamondbacks system for a number of years. And this last question you love.
And he played basketball, too. So,
he
I
did.
Mean, it could be a last-second shot or whatever. But, Sean, we just, it is, you know, we're on a sports show. We like talking sports. What was the highlight of your sporting time, whether it was junior high, high school, college, you know, or the pros? I mean, what was it that you stand back and go, ah, the Lord was good to me on this one? I definitely remember this particular instance that I'll always take with me.
Yeah, so a couple of moments. I'll stick to one for you guys.
We got comments.
Ed Vandy, I forget if it was junior or senior year. It was towards the start of the season. We were playing well, cracking the top 25. We were on the road at LSU, so maybe I'll pick them because of their recent football success.
Sure.
Always a powerhouse in baseball. So it's a three-game series at LSU in conference. We split the first two games. Vandy, we weren't as good as they are now. So if that gives you some, they are just unbelievable right now. So we were there. We split the first two games. To win a series, to win two games out of three at LSU for us was just, it hadn't been done for a long time. And we had that possibility. So that third game, I hit a couple home runs. I was playing first, but then something happened to our catcher where I then was like the emergency catcher and I got to catch the last inning. And so we were able to win two out of three at LSU. And for me, just to have some success there was just an incredible experience. My parents were able to make the trip down there to see that series. So that pops out as one moment or one game in my mind.
Yeah, man, that couple of home runs at LSU and then you catch the ninth inning to win it. That is really good. Speaking of your parents, they must be so proud of you right now.
They are, and they've, and both my parents and my wife's parents, for those who are adoptive parents or do foster care, you realize the journey that is, and we've been on that journey for 10 years, and it's been an incredible blessing, and then to have parents who are supportive of that journey, we're so thankful to God for their support.
Hey, last question. How old was Moses when you guys became his parents?
Yeah, so he's 10 now. He was about maybe 19 months when he came home.
Boy, what a change in your life, huh?
Oh, man.
We've been through it. My son's going through it. Now his son is 7 months old, and he called me one day. He said, Dad, that whole thing about sleeping like a baby, that's just a lie, right? I go, yeah, 100%. How you doing? He goes, I'm exhausted. How you doing? I said, good, because he didn't sleep through the night till he was 4 years old. I was in a fog for 4 years. And then now he's trying to sleep fine, but that little one won't let him. Just a change in your whole life. And it sounds like Allison is just a wonderful, wonderful wife and a wonderful mother. And Sean, I thank you so much for your time. I really do. Keep up the good work over at Southbrook. Southbrookministries.org. If you want to know more about their church, it's a really good website. Gets you a lot of good information about what they're doing over there. Again, southbrookministries.org. Guys, thanks a lot. We got to get out. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.